This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
What's up, motherfuckers? Today we have the incredible, the incomparable, the ambitious entrepreneur, artist manager, and just all around great person. Let's welcome my friend, Deja Austin. Let's go.
Live, baby. Episode 11 of the E-Square Podcast. Deja.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's crazy. Thanks for coming up here.
No problem.
Yeah. What you been up to?
Really been intentional, focusing about on myself and self-growth, but...
Quarantine vibes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really been focused on design her, and then getting back focused on artist management. But other than that, I really eliminated a lot of extra things and kind of just focused on design her, really.
Yeah. Have you been working during this quarantine?
No, I've been a full-time entrepreneur.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did see you post that.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What a fucking struggle, huh?
Man, it's been a humbling year.
Yeah, it sounds good until you dive into it and then you're like, like, I'm not getting a paycheck anymore. Yeah. Like, you know.
But it's been the best experience for me. I think it's definitely been humbling for me and, like, bunch of different areas. I feel like I've grown so much as a person. Like, I'm not focused on so much materialistic things anymore. I think it's been a blessing. It's been a struggle.
Yeah. So
this year has definitely been a struggle, but I wouldn't change it. It's definitely allowed me to grow so much as a person.
Yeah, hell yeah. So you're doing the design her, and I see those. So I see posts on the internet. It's like you're like doing business cards and kind of branding. Yeah. Nice. So how'd you get into that? What was your inspiration?
It's crazy because when I first got into it, originally started off as graphic design. So I had creatives only with my former business partner, Morgan, where we focused on branding. Shout out to Morgan. where we focused on like branding and creative direction and marketing and stuff like that. And I had my own graphic design agency on the side. But I met Ted, shout out to Ted, he's the owner of Hours, and had the opportunity to sit down with him, and he really opened my eyes to like a whole different business structure. So he focuses on, he does graphic design, but only focuses on branding. And what I noticed in graphic design, it was really hard for me to always be passionate about projects because I'm just taking on whoever needs a graphic design project. Yeah. Whereas now I focus on branding as a whole, and I really only take on clients that I actually have a connection with. So it's really made creating so much more fun for me.
That's the life of like collaboration, is if you guys believe in each other and you really fuck with each other.
Yeah.
And you're not doing it just for money. You know what I mean? That's cool, man. That's dope. I mean, you're like so professional. It's crazy.
Really?
Like you're on point. Yeah, your whole like if I was a criminal and I needed a lawyer and you were a lawyer, I would for sure hire you. Cuz you're so on point. Like you're how you present yourself and everything is like, yo, you're
I try to be.
You got it dialed in.
I try to be.
Yeah. Where'd you learn that from? Are you just like
I want to give like credit to really my mom, because my mom don't play when it comes to stuff. And I what I've realized as I've like become a woman in business is that it's hard being a woman in business sometimes. And a lot of the time men don't take you seriously, and especially if you're a pretty face, especially in the music industry. I try to like make sure that
balls.
I don't play. I don't play when it comes to certain stuff, and people take it as like sometimes me being, you know, a B-I-T-C-H or like a snob, and that's what you want to take it as, that's fine. I just don't play, you know, when it comes to stuff.
Hey, business is business, you know. So you see yourself going down that road, the music industry road, really diving into that?
So here's the thing. I really never expected to go into the music industry, and neither did Morgan. But we had an opportunity to sit down with the artist, and really was just supposed to be talking about marketing and branding for that artist, but then he was kind of like, well, it would be cool if y'all could do this too. And we were really hesitant about it, but kind of started to learn about it. I don't know. I feel like it's still growing on me. Like the artist I'm managing now really wants me to continue to manage him, but I think it's hard for me because the music industry is a whole nother ballgame. Like it's rough. Yeah. Like they don't really care about
it's sick.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Well, it is fun, but it's also like, it's just so fake because in that industry, fame is such a prevalent factor that things get can get sticky real quick. But honestly, like, because I had a managing situation too that you're aware of, and I learned like, yo, if you're just starting out doing music, you don't need a manager. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like most of the time, you need a team. You need like usually you're better off if you find like a group of friends that are willing to just do whatever, you know. But like hiring a manager, like somebody, it's just like the artist isn't even getting paid, so the manager for sure ain't getting paid, then it's you know if as an artist if you're not willing to do all the managerial work. Is that management work, managerial? Mm-hmm. If you're not willing to do that work, then you know in the beginning, you're not really putting your full effort into what you're doing.
Yeah, so I think the thing is with the artist that I have now, when I first met him, he was doing the work, but he hadn't really secured any deals that were of relevance or anything like that. Now he just secured a distribution deal with Equity Distribution. Shout out to D the Future and Beyond the Neon team. I don't know if you're aware of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
We just got them as a team. So I have a lot of support now as far as like people who are involved in, you know, have been in the music industry. So yeah.
What's the artist's name?
E. Scott Zelly.
Selly. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
How'd you meet him?
I don't know if you know who Chapo is. Terrell.
Yeah, I know Terrell.
Yeah.
Yeah, working with him at Dre's.
Terrell first had come to us and then introduce us to Selly, and I ended up, now I'm only working with Selly.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I like Terrell. I worked with him at Dre's last year.
Yeah.
He's funny as fuck. He's a good guy. He just dropped some music, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's cool. The music industry is I can definitely see you being a force in that space, you know? I could definitely see you doing management, but I don't know about I don't think you'll like management though, because it's babysitting a lot.
No, but I'm very good at managing stuff. That's the part about managing that I really like, just because I'm good with operational. I'm good with like, you know, managing anything really. It's the other stuff in the music industry, like the A&R, the marketing and branding. I don't care for marketing and branding in the music industry. So as long as I'm just doing what I'm,
Well, what made you want to really take on him though? Is it his music?
I'm not gonna lie, I have never really been a huge music fan, but my love of music has developed like over the last year or two. And I'm normally really not like a amateur music fan, but when I heard I'm not gonna lie.
No, I feel you.
Especially
it's tough
Vegas,
sometimes.
I feel like a lot of the music sounds the same.
Yeah.
And yeah, but
a lot of people just don't have it. You know?
Yeah. But as Selly has, one that I've noticed in Selly is he's very open to like growing. He's always on the lookout for how he can grow in something. But his music has, I think he has the potential really to go far. So
yeah, the coming up in the music, like if you want to start music and do that, it's kind of like discouraging because it's so oversaturated. Everybody seems like they're doing music, they're rapping, they're singing. But it's also beautiful because of the climate that we're in now. It's like you have total power over your own thing, your own career. You're not like depending on a record label anymore or anything. So it's like if you really want to do it, it's just like anything else, you know. You really, really got to go hard. But a lot of artists that I've seen, a lot of local artists, they don't go hard. They think they go hard, but they do not go hard.
All they're doing is putting it, like, I can't tell you how many, like every time I meet an artist and, because, I mean, once people meet me out at networking events and they follow me and they see in my bio that I'm managing an artist, they think, okay, like, she
manages people.
Yeah, she manages people. But really, it's just Selly. I will never take on another client.
You don't need to.
I will never take on another client. It does not interest me. But then, like, I'll get into conversation about them. Like, oh, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like, do you have some shows? Do you like, and they'll be like, no, I just make music.
Yeah.
Like, how long have you just been making music?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. I mean, saying click the link in my bio is only going to go so far.
Honestly, you
know?
Like,
it's so funny because since I started this podcast, I'm like, damn, now I know how it feels to be an up and coming rapper. Like, fuck, I'm telling people, like, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I'm like, because it is frustrating. Like, people, I've gotten a lot of great feedback and a lot of people have been sharing my shit and fucking with me. And But it's like, yo, did you subscribe to my YouTube? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I don't want to be that guy at the same time. But, you know, I'm trying to get that YouTube check, man. Mm-hmm. The fuck? Yep. Shit. Subscribe to my shit, man. For real. But
I get that, though.
But it is frustrating. But at the same time, like, I got to keep myself grounded and not get caught up in all that.
Yeah.
Because I know why I'm doing it. And I know why I started it. And I started it with no expectations. Mm-hmm. I just started it with the intention of bringing all the great conversations I had behind closed doors to light. And I see how you can get caught up in the views and all that. And that's where it's like, that's where it can get confusing and signals can get crossed.
That's the same thing in business, though, too. I think that's a really big lesson I've learned over this last year, too, is really the importance of understanding your purpose. So now there's a reason why I don't just design for anybody anymore. I really have a niche. I love working for women. Like, I think as long as you have a purpose and you know you understand your why, like you said, the people who are supposed to listen to you will.
Yeah,
you know?
So. 100%. 100%. It's just crazy, man. The internet's crazy. Internet and all that is just, I don't know. You play that internet game well, though. I see you out here.
Man, and it's crazy. I was just saying, like, because when I celebrated my 1 year of entrepreneurship, like, even, like, I explained a little bit earlier, is I've grown so much over the last year. There's so many things that have changed. Like, I used to care so much about shopping. Don't really care about that anymore. I used to care so much about telling people what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Don't at all care about that. Like, there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that I don't post anymore. And I'm almost developing, like, this stigma when it comes to social media as far as my personal social media. Like, I just don't like posting everything that's going on anymore for me. You know, like, I don't know, but
you should. And like you said, you don't have to tell people what you do because you just want the work to speak for itself. Mm-hmm. You want somebody to come up to you and say, "Oh, I love what you did."
Yeah.
Instead of vice versa, you know.
Definitely. Yep.
And that kind of it's motivating too. Like I don't want like everybody. It seems like everybody has a podcast now. Mm-hmm. So like when people ask me about my podcast, I'm just like, oh, like yeah, I guess like it's kind of it's so weird listening to myself. Why don't you have a podcast? You should definitely do it.
So the thing was, so I have something called Making of a Boss, right? Mm-hmm.
The intent behind it
was really to share my journey through entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And I do eventually want to hop back on that. I just feel like I'm in a space right now where I'm learning so much that I don't want to be an influence to people before it's too soon, if that makes sense. Like I would hate to say something and then like a week later I learn like, oh, that wasn't like
Yeah,
I've
but you're human
that.
Though.
I know,
but
you gotta share
your struggle too, you know. I get it. You know, it's like you're 1 year into entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. So you're learning, you're a sponge. So, of course, you don't know near as much as what you're going to know in the next year. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are going through what you're going through or even, like, want to go through what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So to share your journey, you know, and be transparent in that way is not a bad thing at all.
That's what my friend was just saying. I have a friend over at, he does Teen Talks, 88.1's Teen Talk, and we were just catching up and I was telling him that, like, you know, I went from sharing so much of my journey on social media to, like, not really.
Yeah.
And a lot of people miss that. But I think it's, like, I understand that there's a purpose in, like, me sharing what I, like, so that people can grow from it. But I'm also trying to figure out, like, what is the best way to do this so that I don't seem like I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing for me.
Because
I'm literally constantly learning so much in this season of my life that I don't want to come off as like, oh my God, she's all over the place.
But
like,
that's entrepreneurism.
Okay,
like, you know what I mean? That every, like, you know, the Elon Musk is all over the place, you know? Like, so I don't know. I mean, you do what you want. You do what you're going to be comfortable with doing.
Yeah.
But I could see you definitely getting like a YouTube following. Like just sharing like a vlog about what you're going through. Like that money is out there for you. And it's a win-win. Like you get money for it and you expand your, expands your viewers, you know,
because
there's a lot of people on Instagram that don't really use YouTube, but there's a lot of people on YouTube that don't, you know, that spend a lot of time on YouTube, you know, so I think.
And people were saying, like, a lot of people appreciate how much I don't mind being completely authentic. Like, I don't mind talking about how much of a struggle. Like, I think that some people really think entrepreneurship looks a certain way, and I've really learned that, like, maybe it's just our generation or creatives as a whole have really defined like mm-hmm. a different look to entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So it's not like your guy in a suit or anything like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think entrepreneurship has kind of become, it's not for everybody, you know? So that's why I say that people like you that are really with the shit should definitely, you know, because when you start expanding, you start getting more employees, mm-hmm. it's only going to make your employees work harder for you because they can go back, they can see your whole journey, like, damn, this is the company I work for. She really started this with nothing, you know. That's how I think about shit.
Okay, maybe
you know?
I got to get back to it. Yeah,
no, you should for sure. You should for sure. So what else? So you got the designer agency. What else you got going?
And then managing Selly.
Selly. Mm-hmm.
I have really been trying to be intentional about figuring out how I can, because you know I don't know if you know, but prior to the pandemic, I was curating a lot of events.
Mm-hmm.
Now yes,
that's what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah. Now I'm in the midst of trying to figure out how can I be different mm-hmm. right now, mm-hmm. you know, because there's a lot of people doing like virtual conferences and stuff, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to figure out like, how can I take that to the next level? What does mm-hmm. that look like? So, because man, I miss throwing events. I really do. This sucks. I love being around people. I love networking. Mm-hmm. So it's been tough, but I'm gonna figure it out.
What was that event that you had going?
I had Quick Connect, which was a speed networking event that I did with Samantha Bytone. I don't know if you know who Samantha is. Shout out to Samantha.
I've seen that name somewhere.
She's a model. And okay. She owns a modeling agency. I don't know if you've heard of Chelsea Fuego, but she manages her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I was doing that. I did a vision board party at the beginning of the year for women. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's the one I saw, yeah.
Last year, Morgan and I curated a women's networking event, which mm-hmm. was our very first event that mm-hmm. we put on. So I really do enjoy putting on events. I'm just trying to figure out like
I could be so good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. I really do. My heart is really for people.
Yeah.
I love being around people. So yeah.
Yeah, especially when you get in the same room with other creatives and other mm-hmm. other entrepreneurs. The energy just starts just like it's like fireworks.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? Oh, yeah, you should, dude. I see you doing so much stuff, public speaking. you know, how old are you right now? If you don't mind me asking. I know. Damn, you're only 23 years old? Yo, good job, man. Keep it up.
Thank you.
The 20s are so, so confusing. I'm in my last year of my 20s. I'm gonna be 30 next year.
Yeah.
I fucked off so much time. Fucked off so much money.
Young adulthood is the most ghetto hood I've been to.
I've never heard that before. That's funny. Yeah, I finally feel like I'm like mature now. Like this is the first year I'm mature. But I still
have a long time till I get to there. But
I still have a lot of growing up to do. It's crazy. When did we meet?
We met probably like 2 years ago.
No, it was longer than that.
No, I think it was like 2 years ago.
It was
we met at Jasmine's.
Yeah, Jasmine's apartment. House. Yeah, that wasn't 2 years ago.
Maybe like two and a half, but it really wasn't.
Wasn't that long ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Damn, I remember that whole conversation with you and Morgan.
Yeah, I remember telling you look like John B. You're like, I look like me.
Yeah, I've been getting Justin Timberlake, John B. my whole life. My whole life, especially I used to have the long hair too.
Yeah.
Oh, no, what's his, no, you didn't, who's the other dude? The other white singer, R&B singer.
John B.
No, not John B. The other one.
Robin Thicke.
I used to get that all the
time.
Dang,
they were just throwing out white R&B singers.
Yeah, like, do we all look the same or what? Fuck. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, that was a. No, I remember that whole conversation because we were talking about artist management and stuff, mm-hmm. and that's when I was active with my management.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was such a learning experience, like working with other people. And do you book shows for your artists?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how was that process? Because that was the most challenging thing for me, was finding shows for basically unknown artists.
Well, I feel like right before the pandemic, Selly was doing a lot of work with, what's the name of, I cannot remember the name of it, but they're almost like a country bar.
Mm-hmm. Out here?
Downtown. It's right behind the record store. what is that record store called? I cannot think of any of the names right now, but
not Atomic Bar.
No, it's called I really cannot think of it, but there's this bar downtown. It's
Las Vegas Country Club?
Mm-mm. No, it's what is it called?
It's a bar?
Yes, is it it's small? Like a bar slash event space, because mm-hmm. they do like a lot of concerts there. Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised, but I can't think of it.
Hopefully you know what streets it's on?
It's off of, do you know where, so what is that? It's like Maryland Parkway and, is that Las Vegas Boulevard or is it 4th? I don't know, but do you know where the downtown, why is nothing coming to my mind right now? Literally not one. I can't think of it right now. I need a snap to help you out. There, I can't think of the names right now, but there's a bar downtown slash event space that was doing a lot of shows for like local artists. So he got a couple shows there, and then he was scheduled to open up for Dizzy Wright on his tour, but then the pandemic happened.
You guys have a relationship with Dizzy?
He was able, so Dizzy, what did Dizzy do? Dizzy came out here, he did a show out here at the Brooklyn Bowl, and he had posted on his Instagram and was like, hey, I'm looking for a local Las Vegas artist,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
And he checked out Selly, and he loved him, so then Selly opened up for him there. And then Selly's a big connector. He's not a type of person where, okay, I got the opportunity, I'm gone. He's going to sit here and connect with you. So he was I think, the only artist that stayed back and continued to talk with Dizzy. So he formed a relationship. And
That's so crazy. Why would he be the only one? Like, where'd the other guys go?
Right. Even if you think I'm annoying, I'm going to sit and make sure that you at least met me. Like,
yeah,
for you know?
Real. Like, you know who I am. Yeah. Get him out of town.
I know.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. I think now that, because we just went through it, I was going through a process of really figuring out if I really wanted to continue with management because of the things I just explained to you. Yeah. But now that I've connected with D and, you know, we have some support, I'm really going to go full throttle into making sure that we can look into getting him some sponsors, into getting him some other shows, interviews outside of, so.
Yeah, like hitting these small markets, that was my strategy when I was with the guys was, let's go to Arizona. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Phoenix. Let's go to Colorado. Mm-hmm. Not so much Utah, but let's go to in the Northwest up there. Just the vibe is different. The support is like people out here don't understand. If a local show out there, it's gonna be packed. Really? Like in like Portland or Seattle or something like that. It's so much different. Like people are really with the I don't know how to describe it. It's just a different. Just different energy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where you get your fan base. You don't get your fan base in the town you're from because everybody's so familiar with you and, you know, so.
Yeah.
That's when we really started to catch some strides is when we did a show in Arizona, we did a show in Portland, and then we're like, okay, like people are fucking with this. You start getting followers in those other parts and that's where, you know. So any artists out there, you better get the fuck out of Vegas.
Yeah.
Everybody trying to be Mr. Vegas in this.
And there's so many, like, there's no room for, like, multiple people to be successful in Vegas. It's like, I feel like it's, especially when it comes to, maybe it's just the perspective I have, but there's always some beef or competition or, like, I don't know. I think that's just Vegas culture as a whole, though, honestly.
Yeah, I just think we don't have the understanding of how things really work yet, you know? So I think, I don't know. I mean, obviously, like, it's funny because music to me is not a competition thing. Mm-hmm. It's an opinion-based sport. It's not even a sport. It's art. Yeah. So it's opinion-based. Mm-hmm. How many opinions do you have is going to determine that your success pretty much, your fans, you know? How many people like you? Mm-hmm. How many people don't like you?
Yeah.
But either way, sometimes it doesn't matter. If you have a lot of people that don't like you, sometimes you can, you know, use that to benefit you.
Yeah.
Like Soulja Boy, you know what I'm saying? So I was just saying, like, it's an opinion-based sport, so you don't really need to be worried about the next artist. You need to be worried about the fans because those are the people who are going to pay your bills at the end of the day. Yeah. And I tell everybody all the time, like, Dizzy Wright, he gave us the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
He got the fuck out of Vegas, you know, and he developed a fan base, you know. Mm-hmm. His biggest show isn't a Vegas show.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. What the fuck do I know, though? Just a guy. So what else is going on, man? What do you think about the world right now, being a woman of color in 2020?
Man, it's crazy. I think it's been really eye-opening for me. I was raised by my Hawaiian side of the family more so. My dad is black. But I was.
Oh yeah, you are Islander.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys get all along. Right?
Yeah, I was raised by my Hawaiian side of the family, so there is a lot of realities I wasn't exposed to. So when all of this first happened, I really had to take a step back and like take it all in for real, for real. And it's just been heavy, man. Mm. It's been real heavy, and I hate to say that I'm just now catching on to like what's going on, but once I have, I'm very pro supporting Black businesses, recycling the Black dollar, doing what I can to help like anybody who comes to me who's Black. Like I'm very like my niche market right now is like Black women, Black businesses. Mm-hmm. But it's been this crazy. I don't even know what to expect in the next year as far as the state of America for real.
So it's like
because our president is just so like
fucking idiot.
He's like, I just feel like, how does it, I don't know what to expect. Like, how does it get worse than this?
He's just very disconnected. You know, that's the problem with the upper echelon, or not upper echelon, but the upper class of people. They're just disconnected from regular people, from the regular struggle. The, you know, people that are living check to check, or people that don't, you know, it's just like, that's where, you know, how can you make laws or policies without understanding what's really going on? And how could you really understand if you're, you know, in your 7,000 square foot house in the suburbs, you know, like, and you're not, you can take your dog out for a walk every night, you know, and it's like, you're, and that's the problem. Like, and now we have Biden. It's like, everybody's saying to go vote. And I'm just like, vote for who? I don't want to go vote at all.
It is important that you vote, though.
It is important.
Don't not vote.
I know, but who am I going to vote for?
Because not voting could mean that Trump wins at the end of the day. But
he's going to win.
I don't want to.
He's going to win. Biden can't put a sentence together. And did you see these videos going around? His creepy videos, like.
But I mean, I don't want to. It's hard. It really is hard, and I understand why. I feel like more so it's our generation that's in this tug and pull than anyone else because. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're a lot more woke than people are, and we just don't tolerate some stuff. But it's tricky, and I get why it's tricky, but I'm just like, we have to get Trump out of the office. We have to, and I feel like, you know, when I was just telling my parents, when Trump first got in office, I think a lot of us were just like, you know what, this is crazy, but we're just going to let this 4 years go by, and it's going to be it. I feel like it progressively, like, at the end of this 4 years, it's gotten so bad that it's, like, if he becomes president, like, if he goes for another term, I'm very concerned about what the state of our country is going to look like in another 4 years.
Yeah, we all should be very concerned. It's just, like, when the last election with him and Hillary, I was just like, God damn, like, it's the lesser of two evils. That's what it was, you know? And and actually, I wasn't totally against Trump in the beginning because of, well, first of all, it's against Hillary Clinton, and she's a lying sack of shit, you know? And so is Trump, like, okay, we don't have he's not a politician. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest thing, is like, I don't want to get this misconstrued. I am not pro-Trump, okay? Yeah. I am not none of that. But he wasn't a politician. So that was his one appeal he had to me. So he was, you know, he said crazy shit and all that, but, you know, he wasn't a robot, you know. But now I think he is a robot. He's a robot or he's an alien, one of the two. But Biden is just like a fucking puppet. Like, he's 80, right? Isn't he 80 years old?
I don't know.
He's like slurs his words, and he's like punch drunk. He's just old, and like, I just don't understand how we got to this point in America where these are our only two options.
No, literally, you know? That's what I was going to say. I think one of, I don't want to make it seem like it's the only thing, there are many things, but one of the terrible things that Trump's presidency has allowed is now there, I really feel like there's not going to be any getting better from here for a long time because he's allowed, like, he showed that we will allow a complete idiot to be in office. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a bunch of complete idiots running for office. Like,
Well, what it is celebrity culture. In America, we're so obsessed with celebrities. People will do anything in their power to attach their names to celebrities because it validates you. And it's, and now I'm, because we grew up in it, so we're blind to it. But it's like, it's just disgusting how much we are so involved in celebrities and involved in their personal lives. And it's just like, and Donald Trump is America's biggest celebrity. He's a celebrity. He's not a politician. He's been famous since the 80s. You know, it's only, he had it coming. He was bound to be the president of the United States. It's because that's what the presidential campaigns are, yeah. Is their popularity contest. You know, and he could talk his ass off. He could talk his shit. You know, and these other politicians that grew up in the political world, and they're all censored and they're overly aware of what they're saying. They don't want to make any mistakes. Here comes Trump. Here comes Trump talking his shit.
Man.
And he's like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I just don't want to see him.
What's the disconnect, you think, between young people and voting? Because a lot of my friends don't vote and have never voted.
One, I don't think that the importance of voting was taught enough. Like, obviously we have a government class, but I mean, it's like you run over voting. It's just a chapter, you know, where, and that's crazy. There's so many like irrelevant things that we learn in school, and there's so many other relevant things we should be learning.
Like, yeah, you can get deep with that though, because it's like, man, did they not want us to know these stuff? Did they not want us to learn? Obviously, they didn't. Obviously.
I swear, being a young adult, my eyes have just been open to so many things.
That you should have known earlier.
Like, why were we not taught about things like financing or credit or like...
Credit.
I don't understand. It's like...
Taxes.
You make... And that's why I don't want to sit here and say, like, I'm anti... I don't want to say I'm anti-college, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, it was a little different. Like, I started off in being pushed into college, and then mm-hmm. I started to realize, like...
Well, college is, like, a traditional thing. It's not... Yeah.
What I'm taking a bunch of classes that I feel like we already touched in high school.
Yeah, your first 2 years are a joke.
To do with... Yeah, and first I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this. I'd rather... Yeah.
It's a business,
invest
that's
in mentors
why.
Or, mm-hmm. like, you know, teaching myself. It's crazy.
It's a business. It's so expensive, overly expensive. It's like, I believe in secondary education for the sense of, like, vocational things. Mm-hmm. If you know exactly what you want to do, obviously, if you're a doctor, you need to go to a fucking school. But if you're kind of like me, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up playing sports, playing ball my whole life. And the only reason why I went to college is to play football.
Yeah.
So once that ended, I was like, well, I don't know how to do nothing else. So I got to pick a major. I don't know what I like.
Yeah.
I don't know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I'm 19. Like, come on, man. You know, and then it's a lot of pressure. And then you put the loans on top of that.
Man.
It's like, you know.
I think that was what got me is when I got to the point where I was, like, paying for, because my parents, I was raised in, like, a nice, you know, raised in a nice household, but my parents are just, they don't play. So they weren't going to baby me. I was in charge of paying for school on my own.
That's good.
I was going to CSN. So once it got to the point where I was like, okay, I think I might have to take out a loan, and then I started meeting so many people who were like in their 40s still paying off school loans, I was like, absolutely not. Hell no. No.
I did 2 years of college, and I'm 20,000. I just keep forfeiting my shit or putting it in a forbearance. Yeah,
it's crazy, and I'm just not doing it.
It's a business.
I'm so glad that I realized that before I got to the point of taking out a loan, even if it was supposed to be like for 1 year or something, you know, because I just can't. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I mean, college for me was, it had ups and downs, but like socially, it was great. You know, I went out of state, so that really helped me grow as a person. But, you know, it's like there's so many better options that just the structure of how it works is ridiculous. It's like, you know, it's not conducive to any young person's life.
It's like I have friends who spent 4 years in college, excited to graduate and like get a job, and then I didn't know there was like such thing as like post-graduation depression because you can't find a job.
Yeah.
Because you don't have experience.
Yeah.
Because you've been in school for the last 4 years. It's like,
you need 4 years experience to get this job. Like, how am I going to? Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's there should be policies and laws against employers, you know. But that's America, man. Employers can do whatever fuck they want. You know. I don't know.
Crazy.
It is crazy. That's why you got to make your own way, start your own business, and, you know, it's all just about money. It's all it is. Like, who gives a fuck about your degree? How much money are you making, you know, for me?
Crazy.
You know? Because the degree is like, it sounds good. Like, oh, yeah, I got a degree, you know. I mean, I don't know.
And it's crazy because there's such a, like, and I've noticed this a lot because I grew up, in, like, my mom had me young when mm-hmm. got her associate's, bachelor's, master's. Mm-hmm. And so I come from a family that, you know, yeah. is big on education. But, I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's such a, because it's like when you tell people, like, people are so surprised when they hear that I don't have a degree. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, where'd you go to school? I'm self-taught.
Yeah.
And it's almost like there's that awkward, like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't, know? It doesn't, a degree doesn't reflect your intelligence, your level of intelligence. Because yeah. we all know some people with degrees that are dumb as rocks.
Some of the most wealthiest people in the world don't have degrees.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
It's. I mean, life is the biggest, the best school, you know. And we have YouTube University now. So if you want to know anything, you want to learn how to build some shit.
I learned graphic design on YouTube.
Yeah.
I learned how to play the ukulele on YouTube.
Mm. Like, you play the ukulele?
I don't anymore. My grandpa is, he was a big time artist.
Oh, really?
Like Hawaiian artist, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Like him and his band were big overseas.
Damn.
Yeah.
You should learn.
So I grew up seeing that. Well, I did, but then mm-hmm. I started like doing things like getting my nails done. And that became important to me.
Yeah, so. You became American. Damn.
So, yeah.
Yeah, YouTube's a motherfucker, man. I'm like, I'm into my woodworking stuff right now, so I'm just like, I'm building bed frames, I'm building tables.
That is dope.
I'm redoing my mom's backyard, installing a privacy wall, mm-hmm. putting, you know, pressure-treated wood in posts and concrete and doing patios and shit, so.
You can learn so much on YouTube.
It's so crazy. You don't need to go to college and spend all that money.
Honestly.
I mean, but see, the I say that, but I do want to get my degree. Just to say I got my degree.
I used to feel that way because mm-hmm. I used to want to go into the fashion industry. I feel like over this last year, like, entrepreneurship has showed me different, like, my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to want to go into the fashion industry and be in marketing and creative direction in the fashion industry. So I had intended on moving to New York and going to school for fashion. But now I'm just like, I just can't do it. I just can't bring myself to do it because yeah. there's just so much I can learn on my own. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to say sit here and say by any means that you should, like, even if you choose not to go the route of college, you still really need to invest in, like, teaching yourself, mm-hmm. reading books, having mm-hmm. mentors. Like, the learning should not stop. But yeah. I just feel like I don't want to say this is a bold statement, but I feel like school is a scam. Like,
no, college, it's a scam. It's a scam. Yeah, it's one of the biggest scams in America. Like, I think that's been well documented. I mean, especially with the price of it. Alone.
Like, the fact that they're not changing the prices.
Yeah, and the fact is, like, my sister goes to Colorado State,
mm-hmm.
and she has to pay way more because she's out of state. Why do I, like,
but even, what, like, I don't know,
where's the logic behind
students
it?
Right now who are going back to school, they're still paying, like, the sports fees and the parking mm-hmm. fees, but the first semester is yeah. virtual.
I've been seeing a lot of fuck you Navi tweets.
It's
recently.
Crazy.
I don't know what that's about.
Well, first, I think it started off by UNLV's mascot is a
racist cowboy.
Or what? I forgot. I cannot think of anything right now in the words. But there was an issue with the mascot, mm-hmm. and then
like a racial issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. So I think that started off at first, but now I think now when people are speaking out, they're speaking out as far as, like, all the extra fees that are being added on that yeah. really aren't being used, and they're not changing it.
Yeah. And where do they expect college kids? Like, adults are broke, and you expect kids to have this money? Like, it's so funny.
But you expect them to have, like,
yeah.
six classes in a day
yeah.
to graduate within 4 years,
and
but
work.
Then they don't have any yeah. time to work. But then this, for some people, it's like they don't have the opportunity to live with their parents for, you know, until they
a
graduate.
Lot of people don't.
So it's like, yeah, I can imagine.
It's a joke. I see a lot of people are talking about homeschooling their kids instead of sending them back. And I say, do that shit, because elementary school, and find somebody you trust, obviously. But mm-hmm. Elementary school, high school, it's just like the subject matter that we're learning is just so fucking, I don't like. Yo, teach kids how to buy houses. Teach kids how to, you know, the importance of credit, like you said. There's
yeah.
just the curriculum is, it's like a fucking, who is making this shit up?
And then even, I don't know if you saw the news story, but CNN or Fox News had done a story and talked about how they were talking about releasing all colored students first. to go back to school to test. You didn't see that?
Mm-mm.
Yes, they were talking about releasing colored students first, like all non-white color.
Who?
They talked. This was a Fox News interview.
Was it in a certain state?
And no. Actually, I don't know if it was in a certain state or not. Okay. I just know it was talked about on Fox. No, it was talked about on the national Fox News.
Okay.
But yeah, and what they tried to say was because minority children need the education more. So that's what they were trying to say. But it's crazy. I'm telling you, We are living in crazy times.
Jesus, people are so stupid.
When I watched that, I said, oh my God. Yeah. Like, I'm really, like, I feel like the state of our country really has
what kind of racist wanting to have children. Yeah, what kind of racist statement is that? That's like, yo, white people are so dumb when it comes to racism. White people are racist and they don't even know they're racist.
And it's crazy because I met this girl who is white and she said that her parents are racist. And I asked her, like, how is that? Because she is not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I realized that my dad really is the way that he is because he has no exposure to minorities.
Boom.
Like,
boom.
He has no reason to understand them or to.
And he didn't grow up that way.
Exposed to them.
He didn't grow up. He didn't get early exposure either. Yeah, I think like this generation, like our parents,
mm-hmm.
is kind of like one of the last generations to really be racist. You know,
yeah.
I think even if you have racist parents, obviously racism is going to continue,
mm-hmm.
But like you can't be openly racist anymore.
Yeah.
You can't. You can't.
Well,
you know. I mean, no, you can't. No, you
I'm
can't.
Like,
yeah,
our
yeah,
president
yeah. No.
has made it very.
No, yeah, you're right. That was stupid. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's not really safe for you. I'm saying, like, especially with social media, and because you'll get if you have a job and you say some racist shit, you get fired. If you just say a job, make a racist tweet, I was getting fired. You know, and that's how it should be.
But I think the crazy thing is now, like, yeah, we may not have to, like, there may be a shift as far as generations, but
yeah.
there's still systematic racism.
Oh, 100%,
and I think that's
yeah.
the biggest thing. Is
yeah.
Like,
yeah, I think actually we're moving in the right direction in the sense of, like, we're getting better, we're getting more aware. I think the generations are getting more aware. And,
yeah.
You
gotcha.
Know, but people are getting more aware, and, you know, I think in 100 years, I think the world will be a lot less racist, you know, in America.
If there even is a world in 100 years.
Yeah, we're not even promised that. We're not even promised that. Yeah. I know.
It's
Donald
just crazy,
Trump, Trump doesn't think global warming's real, so.
And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I was not very well-versed on what global warming looked like, what that meant. And then I started watching, like, I really love nature documentaries right now.
Yeah.
So I started watching those. I'm like, oh, yeah. my God. You look at, like, what our reefs looked like in the early 2000s
mm-hmm.
to compare to what they look like now.
Sad.
I can only imagine what they're going to. And that's only
sad.
20 years.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I think. And I think that, you know, the world is going to end one day either way.
Yeah.
But humans are speeding up the process, you know. I don't know why we're so irresponsible when it comes to the earth. We're so busy trying to fight each other that we forget about the earth. And, you know, because you walk outside, it's there. You're just,
yeah.
We all take advantage of
yeah.
it. We take it for granted. But, you know, we're not guaranteed shit, you know. It's like. You know,
everything is so accessible. I feel like now.
Yeah,
like
it is.
It's
and
so easy to take things.
And we live on concrete. We live in a concrete world, and we're disconnected from nature.
Yeah.
You know, we might go on hikes,
mm-hmm.
but it's different when you live there. It's different when you live, you know, in nature, and you're surrounded with nature, and you have
mm-hmm.
to deal with nature. We don't have
yeah.
to deal with nature too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the most we got to deal with nature? Like pigeons shitting on our steps. You
pigeons.
Know, like. You know, we don't have to go hunting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't have to appreciate it. We don't have to farm our own shit, you know? So.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But, you know, it's funny because America is in such a state of emergency that it's still not a bad place to be living. Yeah, you know, that's what's funny about it. But some people would disagree.
Yeah, I would rather not live here.
Where you live? Canada seems like an awesome place to live.
This might sound like cliche.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to live in Africa. And
it's the richest country as far as
yeah, I feel like
natural resources
and
stuff. Yeah.
We all know there's a huge misconception about like what Africa looks like.
Yeah.
But even like they were barely affected by COVID.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. I feel like if I could go anywhere, it definitely would be Africa. I mean, I love... I'm not well-versed as far as, like, this politics or anything like that in Europe, but it would definitely be Africa for me.
That'd be cool. That'd be awesome. Think about, like, all the places, different places, like, everything that Africa has to offer. Fucking Egypt.
It's beautiful.
The fuck? South Africa. I heard South Africa's really nice.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know if there's some... you know who Jidenna is, right?
Yeah, yeah. The I'm the classic man.
Yeah, yeah. He when he released his last album, he did an interview with the Breakfast Club, and he actually goes back and forth to Africa, and he was saying like, I would much rather stay in Africa.
Isn't he from Africa?
Yeah, he's African.
Okay, okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. But he was saying like, I would much if I could just stay in Africa, I would.
Yeah, I think there's this misconception that Americans we think we live in the greatest country in the world, and I think in a lot of aspects we do, but.
They say America I think we're is a joke. Third world country with a Gucci belt on. no, but for real.
Yeah, yeah.
That's literally.
Yeah, we're so no, I get it. We're so materialistic and we're so.
But in reality, we're like so far in debt.
Oh yeah.
Don't have like the reason. Yeah.
I don't get how we're so far in debt. It's just like, but we're the richest country in the world. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand.
I don't think we are, honestly. I think it's just a.
No, China is probably. Have you heard of this? These seeds going around.
Seeds.
So I guess people have been ordering stuff off of Amazon, and they've been getting instead of their package, they've been getting seeds from China, like seeds, like plant seeds. Yeah.
They're
everybody's confused, and I guess authorities say to not plant them, because. It's like infiltration, you know? It's like warfare, like biological warfare. Like, because they, I guess, I don't know, they're skeptical that they could destroy crops, you know? Like, if that, whatever plant that is, it grows, and it can pollinate and destroy whatever crops kind of deal, so.
It's almost similar to, like, the TikTok thing. You hear how President Trump's trying to ban TikTok?
Yeah, I heard that, but I don't know why.
Because it, if I'm wrong on this, y'all, don't come for me because I just heard from somebody else. But
don't get canceled, David. Like,
they were saying that TikTok was a app that was developed in China. So Trump feels like it's China's way of trying to keep tabs on us.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So
Trump might be doing us a favor.
He's trying to ban it.
He might be doing us a favor.
Well,
what do you think?
TikTok is canceled. Has been canceled anyway. So.
Why?
For their lack of, like, trying to control, like, the racist content that has been out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't have TikTok, so I'm not hip.
Yeah, a lot of people have been. And I feel like TikTok is really, like, a very younger generation.
Oh, yeah, super younger, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, TikTok has been canceled.
Well, if they wanted to keep tabs on us, it's not that hard.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel
y'all
like
worry about TikTok?
Figure it out outside of TikTok.
We have iPhones that get made in China that have our fingerprints, scan our face, and have voice recognition. And you worry about TikTok?
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's what's so funny about the masks. People like, oh, they're trying to control us with the masks, like, and like saying that it's a government conspiracy that they're trying to control us to wear masks. Like, that's the last thing the government wants you to do is wear masks. They want to know who the fuck you are.
No,
they want facial recognition and all that shit. But they've already infiltrated our lives to a point where there's no coming back unless you go off the grid. Yeah, they know your every move.
Even if you're off the grid, I feel like there really is no way of being off the grid for real. Like.
I mean, you could. You can get solar panels and, you know, have a well. That's what I want to do.
I don't know. I feel like even if we think we're off the grid, we're not really off the grid. Like, I feel like they could. Because we have you seen, like, the Google Maps?
Mm-hmm.
They literally.
Oh, satellites, like, yeah. You ain't dodging no satellite, yeah.
But it's, yeah.
We have to build a cave. Shit. Are you a doomsday prepper? I've been investing in solar panels. I've been investing in a whole bunch of shit. Water filtration systems.
I feel like if I had the money to, I would be. Because I'm really big on, like, I know this sounds crazy because I'm not vegan, but I really do want to get to a point where I'm vegan. My children are vegan. Like, there's
why?
So, like, because I really feel like.
Sounds like a lot of naps.
There's a lot. No, a lot of what?
Naps.
But I feel like there's so much stuff, like, in the stuff we take in, like, in our
food.
Oh,
yeah, 100%,
like,
yeah.
I don't know if you've watched What the Health.
I've seen a lot of documentaries, probably. I've seen it, yeah.
If you haven't, you definitely need to watch that. Because it's just open my eyes. I mean, I'm still eating this stuff right now because I'm trying to
you
learn
hypocrite.
How to live off of it.
You hypocrite.
But in a perfect world, I would love to be vegan. My children, I definitely want to raise to be vegan, have all natural products.
I don't think
like,
kids can be vegan.
Why?
I don't think
I know a toddler who's vegan.
I don't think that's good.
Why?
They need the protein for their brain to grow.
But there's other ways to get protein, though.
Maybe I'm wrong, but...
There's different ways to get protein.
I don't know. That's what's scary is when you get kids involved. You know?
I mean, don't... I will say this.
I think kids should definitely...
I'm not against meat. I'm against...
The treatment.
Processed meat.
Okay.
If I could have my own farm... Yes. And raise my own cow.
Oh, yeah. You eat that,
know
for
that
sure.
I would for sure eat it.
Yeah.
But it's like the meat
that's
crazy.
True. You know, you can do that. You can buy a cow.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you can buy a cow. You can pitch in. If you buy a cow, you pitch in. I think they're a couple grand. But mm-hmm. you'll have meat for a year.
Yeah. I used to work for a doctor who once a year or every so many mm-hmm. times a year, she would go and like get a cow butchered or whatever, and she would mm-hmm. freeze it for the whole year.
Yep. My old roommate, his grandparents have a farm in Utah, and he never buys meat. He just goes at once a year. He goes up there and they slaughter the cow, and you know, but I know that's what I want to get to. I want to get to a point where, you know, I have my own land, because I don't want to buy a house like in these cookie cutter neighborhoods. You know, it's just
especially in Vegas.
I was talking about this last. Are you born and raised here?
Unfortunately.
Okay. Why? Why do you say unfortunately?
I really don't. I mean, don't get me wrong. Vegas is developing a culture, but I just don't feel like a lot of people are surprised when I tell them that I'm not from Vegas because I'm different from Vegas females. Like mm-hmm. I feel like Vegas.
You ain't no ratchet. You ain't no ratchet shaking.
Like I'm not about like the fast life.
Just kidding.
Be a stripper or that.
Yeah, I love my ratchets. I love the I love you ratchet hoes out there. Okay, don't get it twisted.
Nothing against that. Yeah. Nothing against stripping. I'm just not that. Like, but I just feel like Vegas is just so.
Well, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What do you expect?
Someone broke it down. D actually broke it down. And he was like, because we come from like tourism and mm-hmm. it's all about the shows, it's all about the look. Like that really takes effect on the people raised here. Because I'm raised seeing the models getting their bodies done to work at Dre's or, you know, whatever the case is. Yeah. So, yeah,
I don't
Vegas.
Understand people girls getting their bodies done. Why don't you just work out?
I feel like as the years go on, we get lazier and lazier, though.
Yeah, just do some squats, man. Dang. But, you know, I think people in Vegas, what I've come to realize is that I've had to rethink my expectations mm-hmm. about living here and grow here or growing up here. And the importance of education is not here. The importance of a family life is not here. The importance of, you know, morals like that and values like that along those lines. And they never were here. You know what I'm saying? They shouldn't be here. You can't expect them to be here. That's what I'm saying is like if when it comes to like education, I think we have the highest dropout rate in the country here in Vegas.
I think we're like.
I love graduation.
I think we're like. 50.
Yeah, we might be 52. We're so
like
bad.
Zero.
Yeah. But I love graduation time because you drive by Little Darlings and you see that their billboard.
It's crazy.
It's so fun. But it's like that's what makes Vegas Vegas, and that's our appeal, and that's why we've been able to thrive. Is because that's why people come here. Our whole city is based off of tourism, and they come here because Las Vegas has the allure of being a degenerate. You have allure of drugs, girls, gambling, drinks, and a fucking great time. It's an adult Disneyland, you know. So I think like, because I've always been frustrated, especially because I have a niece and nephew that are born and raised here too, you know, and she's in middle school and he's in elementary school, and their education is shit.
Yeah,
they're not learning jack shit, you know. But at the same time, it's like, well. If you want a good fan, if you want your kids to have a good education, why don't raise them here?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and that sounds kind of harsh, like, but at the same time, you know, this is Las Vegas, Nevada. We're different than any other city ever.
Yeah.
Our history is different. Is built on, like, if you know the history of Las Vegas, it started out as a railroad town, and then the Hoover Dam started getting built, and all those workers started coming downtown where they had. The casinos, the little mini casinos downstairs, and the brothels upstairs.
Yeah,
and
I was actually just watching a documentary about that on like mm-hmm. our local whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that was very interesting to me. I didn't
so
know
interesting.
That about. Yeah,
and then the mob came in, you know, and then they really built the city up, and then now corporations are here and they're mm-hmm. tearing it down. No, none of. Have you ever worked in the industry like the service industry on the strip?
No.
Man, 10 years ago we were making money.
Yeah.
We were making money, but now, dude, these corporations are just, they don't know, they don't, they're, everything's so strict, you know, everything's so uptight. People don't really come here and have fun like they used to and spend the amount of money that they used to, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're becoming so overcrowded.
Yeah,
man.
I hate Vegas. I can't wait to get out.
Where are you going to go?
I used to really want to go to New York. I love New York. I will say that once I get to being wealthy, mm-hmm. I will definitely have a place in New York. I don't know if that's where I want to live anymore, but I was Have you been to New York?
Yeah, I've been to. I went to New York City one day.
I love it there.
I was blown away. I was like.
But you didn't get like the full experience of New York.
I was there for one day, one full day.
Did you like? Move around?
I loved it. Yeah, we went around. You know, this was a while ago, but I'm talking about. It's like L.A. for me. It's like, I love going to L.A. But when I lived in L.A., it was like, I hate this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Living in New York, it's just like, there's so many people, man. I just don't like big crowds, and I get antsy.
I like, think I love New York because of the quick pace of the city.
Mm-hmm.
I love the hustle of New York. Like,
that's your style?
I really do think, though, living there, I would get annoyed with, like, because out here in Las Vegas, we need to make the store run. We get up, be back in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, in New York, it's like, you make a store run, you're going to be at, like, you got to plan a day.
Well, you
store
walking.
Run. Like, yeah.
You walking, first
like,
of all. Yeah.
The train's going to take 20 minutes to get there, you know? So it's, I don't know, it's different, but I love it. Like,
I think it'd be a great experience for a year to do it, you know, while you're young.
Like, I would definitely live there for, like, you know, short term. But as far as long term, yeah. I was thinking about Atlanta.
I hear a lot of great things about Atlanta.
Man, what?
So many opportunities. A lot of movies get shot out there. Obviously, the music scene out there is insane.
I think the black culture as a whole is insane out there. Like, you really, like, I was just talking to somebody about this. Like, black businesses are praised the way that they are out here in Las Vegas because it's so, like, unheard of for black entrepreneurs to have brick-and-mortar businesses, right? But in Atlanta, every business damn near on the whole street is black owned, you know, like, it's just, I've been in Atlanta once, it was hot as hell, the humidity is crazy,
but that humidity is something else.
The culture is awesome out there.
Yeah,
I really cool. I don't like LA. I mean, I'm not a big Cali person.
LA has a lot to offer in terms of opportunities and things that people you can meet, and because everybody lives in LA,
yeah,
you know, as far as like, I guess celebrities, but it depends what you want to do, obviously. But, you know, for someone like you, like you're doing that, Atlanta would be a good fit for you, or New York too, you know. But I want to live in the country, man. I want to live.
Ooh, I'm not a country girl.
Yeah. I want my own farm and shit. Yeah.
I'm too scary for stuff.
Why?
I need to be in the close proximity of people.
But you know what? I've gotten really scared because I've always kind of played with the idea of living like outside, like near a city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm a city boy, but like outside of a city where I can drive in at my leisure. But this whole pandemic issue really scared me in the sense of when it first started and everybody was panicking and you go to the grocery store and the grocery stores were wiped out.
Yeah,
I was like, damn. Like, and this is just the flu. This is just this is just a hyped up flu. And if like, because I think it's only a matter of time before a plague really hits. You know, history tells us it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And something that we can never be ready for a new disease or something like that. Like, and if that happens, the last place you want to be is in a highly concentrated area.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just think about that when you move to New York.
See, honestly, I feel like some of my idea of I really did used to see myself being in New York like for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Hold on, weren't you supposed to move there?
Yeah.
What happened?
All right, I guess it's a story to tell. So, last year I was working for a health manufacturer, and it was a good job, great job. But then I lost a job. I lost a job at a time where I was preparing to move to New York. My aunt lives in New Jersey, so I was just going to be living with her and transporting into the city, working and going to school, whatever. My idea was thinking that I was going to go to New York and be able to just do full-time entrepreneurship, right? So no one really prepared me for full-time entrepreneurship. It was kind of something I just took on. And being that I lost my job so abruptly, I didn't have, like, some super big savings account, and when I lost my job, I just was like, I was lazy about a lot of things. Like, I just took my extra time. It's like, oh, let me go visit all my friends because I have time to. Let me go do things because I have time to, rather than realizing, like, when you're an entrepreneur, you're working 9 to 5, just if not more, 24/7, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah.
So financially, moving to New York just wasn't a good idea.
It's so much more expensive out there, too.
And even though I had my aunt, it just wasn't there. Even the transportation was going to be there, like paying for it was just going to be a lot more.
Yeah.
So I feel like I had a, and at that time I was so like, oh, I just want to get out of, I just want to get out of Vegas. Like, I was so stuck on it that I didn't take the time to sit and process, like, I still have a purpose to do, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm out here.
Yeah.
You know, I may not be out here long term, but I can't.
You didn't feel like you planted your flag fully yet.
Yeah. I think that it was a huge thing I learned in entrepreneurship was your perspective is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to shift in my perspective, like saying that, oh my God, I'm so over Vegas. There's nothing for me here. Yeah. I had to create that for myself. So I'm definitely glad that I did not go, because I definitely think it would have been rough, and I probably would have found myself right back in Vegas.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people do that.
Yeah. A lot of things have happened for me. Like, I mm-hmm. found a way to connect in Vegas to important people who can help me launch my career, you know, utilizing the people around me. So
you're kind of like honing in your skills, you know. You're honing in. You're like learning the little lessons with people, with your peers, you know, with people that you know. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't seem as bad, you know, if you're going to a new place.
Yeah.
Intimidating, like New York, you know, because then it might have discouraged you. So I think you made the right choice. You'll get there.
Yeah.
You're so young. You're 23.
Just now.
Huh?
Not now. I said I'll get to a point of moving, just not now.
Yeah. Yeah, when the time's right, you know? I mean, but really, there is really no perfect time, you know? I mean, you never know what could happen, your opportunities, but...
Definitely.
You know, it's good to keep your mind open, you know? But it is so, so valuable to hit other places.
Yeah.
And plant your flag there and network out there. You just start growing, you know. It's crazy.
But before I went, I was like, I haven't even met all the important people here in Vegas for me to say that there's nothing left for me in Vegas, you know, like.
Vegas has a lot to offer, I think. There's a lot of people like yourself that are working towards, you know, the next level of whatever it is that we're working towards. But I think Vegas does has a lot. I don't think it gets enough credit.
Yeah.
You know.
No,
you hate Vegas. You hate it.
I just hate Vegas.
Yeah, the grass isn't always greener, though. The grass is not always greener. Yeah,
I think that there's a lot of things, like, I won't, because I've been born and raised here, everything is 24/7 for the most part, or was prior to the pandemic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things are easily accessible, whereas if I go to another state, that probably won't be the case.
Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean?
Like, I can get up and go to the corner store at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
You can't, like, when I was in New Jersey, and I linked up with a friend. He was like, yeah, I got to make sure I hit the gas station because won't be able to do that after. Yeah. And it's like, could you imagine like being
used to... It's like that in L.A. too. I was blown away.
Could you imagine being used to the Vegas culture and then thinking like, oh, I can grab gas.
Oh, yeah.
So like, and then you're like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah, when I lived in Cleveland, they turned off the streetlights at 10 p.m.
That's crazy.
They turned off the streetlights. Just yellow lights flashing everywhere. Just go straight through.
Wow.
Yes. There's a lot of little shit but it's also cool to experience all that, you know, but I don't know. What else you want to talk about? What else you got going on? You want to manifest some shit? What have you been manifesting? What have you been thinking about?
Oh, I'm getting my real estate license.
Oh.
I'm going to go into commercial real estate.
Hello.
And I feel like that'll be a good segue, like a bridge between what I do and, you know, because I'm selling people.
You feel like you're putting too much on your plate? You ever feel like that?
No, I feel like I eliminated a lot. Now, at first, I do think there was a lot because I was like a creative director for a fashion boutique. I was doing Quick Connect with Samantha. I was also managing Selly. I was doing Design Her. I was like coming out of my partnership with Morgan. Mm-hmm. So at one point in time, I was. Mm-hmm. And I realized I had to narrow down, and instead of taking on so much, learn to perfect the things that, you know, are my foundation.
I think that's a common trend with entrepreneurs, is that we like to multitask. Mm-hmm. If we're not doing 10 things at once, we feel like we're not doing enough.
But then I like, because, this year has just taught me a lot, man.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that real estate is something that I think I'll be successful in it. And I think
100%.
I think that I'll be okay. Now, I was planning some other things that I wanted to, because I was looking at different ways to, like, find other streams of income, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my options were, I really want to do all natural skincare line at some point in time in my life. I do want to do something in the fashion industry. I don't know if that's a boutique. I don't know if that's like a clothing line, or sorry, like a bathing suit line or shoes or something like that.
Stylist.
Yeah.
Mm, your style be on point.
Can't do it.
No?
No. I try to go down that route, but it's different. Like, I really enjoy styling myself.
Yeah, okay, I get you.
Don't really love, because there's so much, like, you have to understand people's body, like, types. Yeah, you may think an outfit is cute on what you're envisioning on yourself, but then when you put on something, like, oh, dang, that doesn't, you know? So, yeah, been there, done that, didn't like that. But I was thinking about doing something in the fashion industry, and then I was like, both of those things would require so much energy of me. Like, I would have to be packing and shipping, and, like, that's just, I just don't see myself doing that right now.
Yeah.
So, real estate, I have friends and mentors who are in that field heavy, and I feel like I could utilize them to be successful, so.
Yeah, it's you really start to see results, like, when you lock in on something. Because I feel you. I've been there and trying to do 10 million things at once, mm-hmm. and then you don't really get anything done. You're doing all this shit, but you're not getting results. You feel like you're just, like, running in place, feels like. Mm-hmm. So I feel, when you really lock in on a couple things, you put your effort towards it, it really starts to pay off. And then and then you automate it, and you free up time to do other shit, you know?
Yeah.
Well, real estate, so how does that work? Like, so you're commercial real estate? Mm-hmm. So you're...
I'll be focusing on all, like... So, like, when you see these business centers or, you know, I'm selling to businesses more than I would be selling to, like, I don't want to do residential.
Yeah.
I'm sure I can make a lot of money on that right now because it's so, like, you know, the market is crazy right now. But I just don't see myself doing that.
So are you working for a company?
So, you know me. I just feel like I just have to go the extra mile sometimes. So I'm actually thinking about getting my brokerage license.
Oh, there you go.
But probably starting out. I don't know. I have to talk to my mentor a little bit more about the route that I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But if I, I don't know. I got to figure that out.
Damn.
I don't do well with working for people.
Why not?
I don't know. I feel like I'm such a, something I need to work on, but I am so very particular about the things I attach myself to,
mm-hmm.
The people I work under, the way that those people work, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I feel you. I'm like a prick. I'm like a little prick still when it comes to working for people. I only have one manager. I've had so many jobs. There's only one manager I could say I liked. I've cussed my managers out. I'm a great employee, but as soon as you, because I just know what to do. Like, I'm just here to do my job. But once you start telling me what to do, start trying to boss me around, man, we got some issues. I don't know. It's just my pride.
The last job I worked, I loved. Mm-hmm. I loved the people. I loved what I was doing, even though it was kind of a different industry for me. But mm-hmm.
What, the healthcare job?
Yeah, because they developed, they manufactured, like, equipment for the health industry, medical industry. So, yeah, I just noticed I'm just not, like, I can never see my, I mean, obviously, if business got so bad to the point where I needed to go to work for someone, then I would, mm-hmm. but I really don't ever see myself working for somebody, mm-hmm. like, a job ever again. I'm just not good at, like, I just don't, I work very hard, but, like, I called off all the time. I don't, like, I was always.
Well, the motivation's not there. Like,
it's just, like.
Especially when your mind switches and you start working on projects that you feel like can work and you feel like you can make your own money, mm-hmm. that's when you're like, man, this job sucks. I hate being here. These people suck. It's always the coworkers too. It's always that shitty motherfucker that complains all day. Really? And it's like, bro, if you don't like your job, you know what I'm saying, there's the door. You know what I mean? Or not getting paid. Usually you're not getting, hardly ever getting paid enough. And then
Truly paid what we're supposed to be paid? You know, as an employee.
I know, but then as a business owner, like, when you start expanding, do you think about this? Like, do you have employees right now?
No.
Okay, how do you feel like you're going to treat your employees?
I was just talking to my boyfriend about this, but I really feel, I can't say right now how I'm going to treat my employees, but I know that before I do take on a team, I really do want to do research on different leadership styles,
mm-hmm.
because I really do want to be a supervisor, manager, or whatever, somebody, a leader who, mm-hmm. you know, makes people, like, understand,
mm-hmm.
the purpose. Like, I want people to look at me and be like, oh my God, I love working for her because I love where her heart is, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to just take employees on because I want to slave them and just need them to do, you know, whatever I say. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about, like, I don't know if I would ever even really want employees, you know? Like, I want people to work for me. I want people to just do my job or do the job so I don't have to do it. So when it comes to that, when I have that mentality, I'm just like, and I hire somebody, I'm paying you to do a job. Mm-hmm. Bro, shut up and do your job, bro. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, I know you can't be like that at the same time, but like, I don't want to get too involved with my employees where it's like we're a family.
Yeah.
And then people get so comfortable and then they start getting, you know, your personal life gets intertwined and, you know, like, oh, now we're having you over for dinner and you're at my house for a party and all that shit.
Over for dinner.
Well, it's just like, I'm just saying, like, you have a company party maybe at your house and you know where I live and all this shit. Like, bro, you know what I mean? Like, this is how the world works.
I will say, though, some of my favorite working environments were the ones that were more of a family dynamic. Now, don't get me wrong. I do think that there should be boundaries because I do feel like once I start to develop, like, a personal relationship with some of my employees, especially, like, I had a boss at one point in time, he was like a brother to me. Like,
I think that as long as there's respect there, as long as there's mutual respect.
But here's the thing. You have to think of it from, like, I think about those environments that I really loved, but now from a business owner perspective, like from a leader perspective, you just have to be careful.
When you're the leader,
you can form this really great bond with somebody, but there are business moves that employee mindsets won't understand,
and
they'll take that personally. So it's like,
When you're the leader, it's like if you get too familiar with your employees. Mm-hmm. Then the respect, they start thinking they can get away with shit because they're your homie. And then, you know, the respect level goes down. Because I've been there. Like, I've been cool with a couple of my managers. And then, like, you know, I start slacking off. Mm-hmm. And then they put me in check. And then I'm like, what the fuck? I thought we was cool, bro. Like, you know.
Honestly, I feel like I'll be good at that, though. Because I feel like even now, like I was telling you earlier, I'm very about my business when it comes to certain things. And sometimes men are uncomfortable about that. But I feel like even then, like, I know how to be cool with you, but also be like, yeah, no, that's not me.
Yeah.
Like, we're not about to do that. We're going to draw the line here.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, the workplace is can be a very sticky place, you know. Like, people, you know, I get it why, you know, companies have policies and all that shit, and I don't know. Nobody wants to be an employee. That's the biggest thing. Like, nobody wants to be put on a schedule and all that.
Yeah. But
being a job for 30 years, you wake up, you're 70, still there, you're miserable.
That's why, honestly, I would love to get to a point, like, even now as I think about taking on, first of all, it's a very scary thought, starting to take on, like, team members.
Are you getting there?
Yeah, I need, like, somebody soon.
Are you going to do internships?
But what I'm thinking, because I don't want to take advantage of people, and I feel like sometimes in internships, it's easy, because for me, I don't really have the time to sit and teach somebody right now.
Right.
So I need somebody who's just going to do it. Right. Yeah. But what I'm thinking is I want to do is just take on freelancers, like take on freelance women designers. So it's different. Like, can you take this on? Yes or no? What's your term? You know, like, you're telling me what's your term. I'm utilizing.
You're like outsourcing.
I'm outsourcing to you. Yeah. I'd rather do that than to take on team members right now.
Yeah.
Because
it's more cut and dry that way.
It's like, you tell me what you can handle, and I can pick, like, if I have multiple freelance designers, I know each what their workload is, what their turnaround time is, and I can pick and choose who, you know, is good for that project.
Have you ever thought about, you know, you mentioned seeking out mentors. Have you thought about being a mentor and taking somebody under your wing?
I would love to be a mentor.
You can mentor my niece. Please mentor her.
Yeah, definitely.
She's in middle school.
I would love to.
Really?
Yeah,
that'd
definitely
be great. I'll talk to her about it.
Just
have someone like follow you around, like, or even somebody in high school, or even some, or somebody that's 19 that's
just like my little cousin. Yeah. I'm asking her, like, what do you want to do? Like,
yeah.
Because also I'm thinking about, like, generational wealth too. So outside of being a mentor for, like, for my family, I do want to pour into people because I really do wish I had somebody like me.
It helps you grow
at
too.
My age. Yeah. Like,
it helps you grow as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they'll ask questions it's just better because you'll be on more so on your P's and Q's because you know somebody's watching you and you don't want to, you know, if they fuck up, you know, it's going to be on your watch and it's going to be your fault because you weren't on your P's and Q's. So.
Yep. Man, it's so important. I swear, that's another thing that's scary is before taking on a mentee, I want to make sure, like, I got my P's and Q's together because it is, I feel like I'm still trying to let go of some of the bad habits that my mentor, I watched my mentor do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how important that was or how much effect that that really could have mm-hmm. until after. And I'm learning, like, dang, yeah. there's a lot that I took on that it's really hard for me to break out of.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, like, I did an interview at 88.1 and talked to the teens there, and they were like, are you taking on mentees? And I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. but one thing I want to let you guys know, even with me, I'm going to say, study your people before you ask them to be a mentor. Like, yeah. study their habits. Look at them for a couple months, you know?
Yeah. How would that work? Because I want to get into that, too, as being a mentor, but I don't know if... Yo, I'll be wilding, so I'll be drumming. Alcoholic, I'm not alcoholic, but you know.
You
what
need
I'm
to stop saying that. I've watched a couple of your interviews where you said that to me, and stop saying
I've
that.
I've been drinking, yo. I've been drinking.
But don't call yourself an alcoholic.
Well,
yo,
what's like, the, what, I'm just drinking, trying to be like, transparent. Like, I'm just like, oh,
can
man.
Can you stop if you wanted to?
Hey, we've been sober today. We've All been right, sober this whole time.
You're not alcoholic. You feel like you
but I've been thinking about it. Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, I've been around alcoholics. You know, I've some of my friends, my family, and I never want to get to that point. Mm-hmm. You know, but where's the line? Like, I drink every day. I drink every day, whether it's wine or.
I think the line is you not being able to stop.
Okay.
Like, if you said.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a good enough reason to stop yet, I guess.
Yeah, like, but if you really were at a point where, or if you can't, like, say if you went on a retreat or something for 5 days and you were like, oh my God, I need alcohol, like, I can't do, yeah. then all right, we might need to yeah. revisit that alcoholic word, but.
Yeah, I don't have a good enough reason to stop right now.
Yeah, I'm not a big alcohol person.
Really?
Mm-mm. Like, I'm That's that good. Person That's where good. When I go to a bar and they ask me what I want, I'm like, give me anything that tastes like juice. I like lemonade in my stuff, yeah, so yeah, do whatever
yeah.
you like.
That sugar, though, mm-hmm. that's even worse for you.
Yeah.
I cut out that sugar. I know. Sugar is the devil.
I love me some ice cream. I'm an ice cream addict, though.
Sugar is the devil. You know how bad it is for your body?
Yeah, my mom was able to cut so much weight from just cutting off processed sugar. Just sugar. Yeah.
They put sugar in everything, meat, everything. You cut out that sugar, you're good to go. So all those girls out there trying to do their bodies, just stop eating sugar.
No, for real. My mom did because my mom, I mean, she's skinnier than me now. She had two kids, yeah. two more kids. But mm-hmm. she just cut off sugar and, like, limited carbs and stuff like that. She was...
Yeah.
She lost a lot of weight.
What's that diet? No carbs? What's that diet? That bullshit-ass diet?
Oh, I think it's keto.
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 Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
I don't think you need to eliminate them. I think you need to, like, limit them.
Yeah. Yeah, in America, we're all like, gluttonous eaters, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Just eat for fuel. You'd be all right. Anything else you want to talk about?
You were going to say something about mentoring. You said, how does that work?
Oh, so, like, oh, okay. So, how does that work in the sense of, like, would you call them every day? Or would you, like, take them everywhere you go? Or, like, how does that work? Like, when do you spend time with them? When do you not spend time with them?
So I'm someone who learns off of experience, mm-hmm. and I feel like that's the best way to learn sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that would be the way that I taught. Mm-hmm. So I would bring them with me as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that gets hard, because especially if you're dealing with someone who can't drive or something like that. But I would have to figure that out, because mm-hmm. experience, I feel like experience is the best teaching
yeah,
tool.
Yeah, 100%. You got to give them little jobs and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or even bring you with me. Like, I loved coming with my mentor along to, like, meetings. Like,
just
that
sitting
was
there
huge.
And being quiet,
and
yeah.
just sitting there and, like, taking in, like... Yep. Because, like, when you're younger, you have an idea of business that really isn't business, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, when you're in meetings, you're like, oh, dang.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. That's, yeah, sitting in on meetings and just being a sponge and just being in the corner. It's the best. I've been in a couple of those situations where, like, I'm not even supposed to be here. So I'm about to just be quiet, you know? But you learn so much in those situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, being a mentor would be great. I got to get my act together.
That really is my passion, is, like, being a resource to people.
Yeah.
I just want to be careful about that. Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm never going to be perfect mm-hmm. as a person. But I do want to make sure I have my shit together before, you know?
Yeah.
Not that it's all over the place, but I'm saying, like...
Yeah, I want to start I've had this idea for a while. I want to start an after-school program for mm-hmm. kids. It's going to be like a mentor mentee kind of deal where, you know, elementary school kids, middle school kids, high school kids, after school, if they don't have anything to do, if they're not involved in sports or something, mm-hmm. I want to get together. I know plenty of engineers and producers with studios, mm-hmm. and just sit in on a studio session, learn how audio engineering works. Mm-hmm. If you want to sing or rap or whatever, we'll get you in there. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, they can learn things that your kids normally wouldn't have exposure to, yeah. you know, and things like what you do too, like that you would be great with that, you know, taking, you know, kids and showing them what you do, showing them how to design stuff and mm-hmm. showing them emails and how to communicate with clients and stuff yeah. like that. Like that's something I definitely want to do, you know,
because actually I've always wanted to have a girls mentoring program, mm-hmm. Or nonprofit organization or whatever yeah. this is. That was actually something I was planning on doing this school year, because what I want to do is I want to have a mentor, like a 6-8 week mentorship program where we're going into schools and working with like the juniors and seniors and teaching them things like the importance of credit, mm-hmm. Really yep, with girls yep. tapping into confidence and how important that is, yeah. like tapping into the things that are relevant that aren't really talked about in mm-hmm. school. Doing like a 6-8 week program, doing like some sort of graduation ceremony yeah. for them, and then like I want to get to a point where I'm doing like a school tour with all these different high schools. I wanted to do that this year.
Sounds like you just start your own school. You know what I mean? Your own university.
But I do really want to. That never ends. That is the goal. Like, you know, I do want to get to a point where I have like a brick and mortar where I can do all that out of. But yeah. I think I do want to start with the high schools.
Do you have an office?
No, not yet.
You should get one. Soon. You should get one.
I'm gonna manifest that.
Yeah,
I want to get my own place before I get office, because I'm still at home with my parents right now.
Well, an office is so good because it's a space. The space is so important. It's this having the space that's dedicated to working yep. is so important. And you know, I've seen a lot of opportunities come from people just having their own space. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they get out of their basement, they get out of their room, you know, yeah. and then it just. It's just good for your inertia, for your momentum of what you're doing.
Definitely.
You should do it. There's plenty of little cheap places around here, man. Link up with people. Talk to Janess, man. He got spaces open.
Okay, I will.
We got spaces open.
I'm gonna talk to you. Okay.
All right, let's wrap it up. Any shout outs you wanna?
Shout out to Second Wind.
Hello.
And
is that a clothing line?
Yeah, it's my boyfriend's clothing line.
Oh, hello.
Me and Morgan actually
putting
do
on
like
for
the
boo boo.
Me and Morgan actually do the marketing branding for them. So,
oh nice.
We're in the midst of a rebrand, so a new drop is coming soon.
Second Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Design her.
Oh, shout out. Oh, I thought you were saying outside of
or
me.
Whatever. Well, you want to plug? Whatever. Yeah, everything you want to plug. Yeah.
Make sure you guys follow the Design Her Agency at the Design Her Agency on Instagram.
Design Her Agency.
Follow me on Instagram. What is it?
Don't look at me. Motherfucker, it's your shit.
Deja, Deja dot Lashay, Lashaee.
Mm-hmm. I'll tag you.
Yeah.
Hello. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Absolutely. Get your own podcast.
I'll work on it.
Okay, cool. Till next time. Appreciate you.
Thank you.